Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time in your word. Thank you for this precious portion of the Psalms. And we just pray that as we see in this passage, the faithful provision of the shepherd for the sheep, that you would use it to encourage our hearts. And this we ask with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we're going to look at a familiar psalm, one that many of us have probably memorized. And there are great lessons for believers in this beautiful psalm. Psalm 23 is all about the faithful provisions of the Lord Jehovah, who is spoken of as a shepherd. And David was the perfect man to write this psalm. As a shepherd, David had insight from his firsthand knowledge of all that was required to care for and tend for the needs of sheep. And that's the meaning of the word shepherd, one who cares for the needs of and tends, one who cares for and tends to the needs of the flock. In the psalm, though, David is writing from the perspective of the sheep. In it, he gives a wonderful picture of trust and confidence in the ability of the shepherd to meet his needs. And throughout the psalm, we see that the sheep is willing to follow the leading of the shepherd and has complete confidence that it will be well cared for by the shepherd. So in verse 1, David begins with the introduction to the shepherd. He is the Lord, Jehovah, the God of Israel. The Lord is my shepherd. And we know that this also points to Christ, who was revealed in the New Testament as the Good Shepherd in John chapter 10, and also the Great Shepherd of the sheep in Hebrews 13, and the Chief Shepherd in 1 Peter 5. Another familiar psalm, Psalm 121, describes Jehovah for us, and this is what it says: I will lift mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. It's Jehovah, the one who made heaven and earth, the one who keeps his people in his care. He is the one who neither slumbers nor sleeps. He preserves his people from all evil, and he's always there to help. He's the creator of heaven and earth, who has unlimited resources at his disposal, unlimited resources and unlimited power. And he's always there to help. Jehovah is the shepherd. What condescending love he demonstrates by his willingness to care for sheep, practically helpless animals. But he can provide any help that's needed. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. Isaiah 40, verse 11, tells of the coming Messiah who will feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. What amazing love. So David says, the Lord, Jehovah, is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, he says. To be able to say that, one must belong to him and be one of his sheep. By nature, before salvation, we are not one of his sheep. Isaiah 53:6 tells us that all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But praise God, the Lord Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. In the parable of the lost sheep in Luke chapter 15, Jesus speaks of himself as the seeking shepherd. It's not the lost sheep who's seeking the shepherd, but the good shepherd who is seeking the sheep. And so it is that he comes and he seeks us individually. And when we believe on him as the Lamb of God who died in our place, we become his sheep and he becomes our shepherd. And before Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd," in John 10, he first said, "I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Entering that door begins an intimate, personal relationship. And the believer can say, as David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd." And there's a wonderful relationship between the shepherd and his sheep. The shepherd owns and cares for the sheep. The sheep belong to the shepherd and depend upon the shepherd. You know, Paul told the Corinthians, "You are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Ephesians 1 tells us the Holy Spirit is the earnest or the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. That's the sheep, the purchased possession. In John 10, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine." And knowing that we have entered into a relationship with the Lord gives believers assurance. This blessed truth, "The Lord is my shepherd," gives assurance that we belong to him and no one can pluck us out of his hand. We sing the song, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine." And then he says at the end of the verse, "I shall not want." Because the Lord was his shepherd, David knew that his needs would be met. The shepherd's ability to provide is never doubted. David says, "I shall not want." He would not want or lack anything that he needed for survival. And this covers both physical and spiritual needs for believers. Here we see the attitude of the sheep. It's one of being totally satisfied with its owner and perfectly content with its lot in life. The shepherd provides the sheep with guidance, proper nourishment, care, as well as comfort and protection from harm. All of its needs are met. And in addition to the thought of not lacking, is the idea of being totally content with the Good Shepherd. Totally content with the Good Shepherd's care, and as a result, not desiring or demanding anything else. In the New Testament, 2 Peter 1:3 tells us that Christ, who is our Good Shepherd, has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. We're told that we have also been given great and precious promises in that same chapter. What more could we want? You know, Paul wrote in Philippians 4, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God." As believers, God promises to provide all our needs according to his riches and glory. And that's an unlimited source and supply. We also have a wonderful inheritance reserved in heaven. So we can say, as David wrote, or we should say, as David wrote, I shall not want. That doesn't mean that the sheep would never face hardships. We'll see as we go on the difficulties faced by the sheep. But what it does mean is that even in the midst of hardship, the sheep would not lack the love, the expert care, and provision from the shepherd. The Lord does call on Christians to suffer hardship, to endure hardness, and there will be hard times as we live on this earth. But in 1 Peter 5, after referring to the believers as the flock of God and Christ as the sheep, chief shepherd, Peter tells believers to cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. Do we believe that? Can we trust the Lord when times get tough? Are we content and satisfied with him as our shepherd, our caretaker, comforter, and provider? That's what David is speaking about in verse 1. He's trusting the Lord, his good shepherd, and the first thing he confidently proclaims is, I shall not want. And then in verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Here we have a peaceful scene. The good shepherd brings the sheep to green pastures where they can have good food and rest. The primary meaning of the Hebrew word translated pastures is a resting or a dwelling place. It's like an oasis. An oasis is a pleasant, peaceful place, just what the sheep desires. I've read that in order to lie down, sheep need to be free of fear and not be disturbed by friction or headbutting within the flock. They like the peaceful environment. They also need to be free from annoying insects and free from hunger. Fear, friction, being disturbed, and hunger will prevent most sheep from lying down. But notice that it's the good shepherd who makes the sheep lie down. The shepherd is the one who brings them to the oasis, where freedom from all those troubling issues can be provided. The ability of the sheep to lie down and to rest depends upon the diligence and the tender care of the shepherd, who provides the sheep with the place of refreshment and rest. And the same is true in a spiritual sense. Conditions need to be right for a person to be at rest spiritually. In Matthew 11, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall have rest unto your souls." Once we come to the Good Shepherd and belong to him, he provides refreshment and rest for our souls. And just as feeding came before the sheep would lie down and rest, the elders or the under-shepherds in the New Testament are expected to feed the flock so that they will be strong in the Lord and properly equipped, ready to face the enemies that all believers face, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Jesus told Peter in John 21, "Feed my sheep." Paul told the Ephesian elders in Acts 20 to feed the church of God. Peter told the elders in Asia Minor in 1 Peter 5 to feed and care for the flock of God. And the sound teaching and sweet fellowship provided by a faithful local church is like an oasis where believers find refreshment and rest from all the turmoil in the world. You know, the food, we all know this, the food for the soul of believers is the Word of God. And 1 Peter 2:2 tells us, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. When we desire the Word of God, we will grow in God's wisdom, the wisdom from above that is first pure and then peaceable, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. And this good fruit will result in rest for our soul. We can have the peace of God that passes all understanding as we let our requests be made known unto God and trust Him to meet those needs. Being anxious for nothing. When that is our mindset, we can understand, as David did, that our good shepherd is the one who makes us lie down in peaceful green pastures. So the first thing that David says he does not want or lack is a place of refreshment, a place of refreshment that produced peace and rest, peace of mind. And then at the end of verse 2, he leadeth me beside the still waters. The Hebrew word translated lead here means to lead with care, to lead with care. It speaks of the shepherd's loving and concerned leading of the flock, especially of those with young, the ones who need special care. I've also read that when sheep are thirsty, they become restless and they set out looking for water. And they'll drink any water that they find, even if it's polluted. They're not the brightest bulb in the animal tree. They need to be guided to good water by the shepherd. And he knows where the still, quiet, deep, clean, pure water is to be found. The water that can satisfy his sheep and keep them healthy. Now, considering this need for water on a spiritual level, while speaking to the woman at the well in John 4, we're told that Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Here we see an example of the good shepherd seeking a lost sheep, delivering a soul from the polluted water of the world and leading her beside the still waters. What amazing grace. You know, believers need the pure water of the Word of God, the Word of truth, rightly divided. We live in a day where the Word of God is being diluted and distorted with man-centered worldly thinking. So believers require discernment to be sure that their soul is not being polluted. Good shepherds that lead their flock to pure, still waters are not easy to find today. We should praise the Lord and thank the Lord every day for our pastor here. Believers need the tender care of good shepherds to stay healthy spiritually and to not drink polluted waters. 2 Peter 2 speaks of false teachers who, after they had escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, they became entangled again with the pollutions of the world, and they were overcome. The point is that believers need to drink the water of the Word from pure fountains to stay healthy spiritually and avoid polluted waters, to be strong in the Lord. And this will prevent us from becoming weak spiritually, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, and entangled by partaking of polluted waters. You know, the Berean Christians were commended in Acts 17 because they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily to be sure that they were being taught the truth. And we need to be able to do the same and to recognize polluted water when we come upon it. In Revelation chapter 7, John gives a picture of the congregation in heaven before the throne of God, and he writes, "For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them," and that's the Greek word for shepherd, "he shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water," not dead polluted water. Our good shepherd feeds and leads us beside the still waters. And it could be translated beside the waters of quietness, which produce a soul at rest, not to and fro, not tossed to and fro. The second thing David says he doesn't want is, or lack, is still waters, the life-giving refreshment of the pure water of the Word. And then in verse 3, "He restoreth my soul." In Psalm 42, verse 11, familiar passage, David wrote, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me?" I've read that a cast down sheep, it's kind of silly, but a cast down sheep is one that is turned over on its back and it can't get up again by itself. And if the shepherd doesn't see this and help the sheep within a fairly short time, the sheep will die, or a predator will find it, and it'll be finished that way. This is another reason why the good shepherd watches over and checks up on his sheep. We have a visiting pastor, and we should thank the Lord for that. A cast down position is dangerous, both physically for sheep and spiritually for believers. Our enemy uses our being anxious and discouraged to get us off course and to rob us of the peace of God that should rule in our hearts. You know, David was downcast or brought low, and his soul was disquieted many times in his life. He was even at the point of death numerous times. Disquieted means being anxious, disturbed, uneasy, or restless, and it's usually the result of sin or of not trusting the Lord. In those times, our soul needs to be restored. We need to see God in our difficult situation and trust Him. We need to keep in mind that our Good Shepherd never leaves us or forsakes us. In fact, He tells us that He is especially close in times where we are cast down or brought low. Psalm 34:18, "The Lord is nigh or near to those who are brokenhearted." We just need to stop focusing on our troubles and look unto Jesus. Put him front and center. We need to see what is happening in our lives through his eyes. You know, we're very familiar with the verse, all things work together for good. We may not see the good right away, but we can rest in knowing that God makes no mistakes. And we can rejoice in the Lord knowing that as we trust him with all our hearts and follow his leading, he'll put us back on our feet, just like that sheep that couldn't get up. Sometimes we're in the same way. We need help getting back on our feet, and the Lord, the Good Shepherd, is there to do that. He restores our souls. So the third thing David says he shall not want or lack is forgiveness and restoration. And then, second part of verse 3, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Here we have a different word for lead, not the same word that was used in verse 2. This word means to lead or guide, and it speaks of conducting one on the right path or course so that they get to the desired destination. I've read that left to themselves, sheep will follow and wear out the same trails until they become ruts. They'll graze the same hills until they turn into a wasteland, and they'll pollute their own ground until it is corrupt with disease and parasites. They are creatures of habit, and they require careful handling and constant guidance and direction. Left on their own way, they'll destroy themselves. So the shepherd keeps the flock on the move in a planned rotation from one grazing ground to another. He must guide or lead them in the right direction so that both the sheep and the land stay healthy. And the good shepherd knows this, and he leads the sheep to new grazing grounds before overgrazing and land pollution occurs. His reputation depends upon it. And spiritually, it's no accident that God has chosen to call believers sheep. The behavior of sheep and human beings is similar in many ways, not complementary, I know. But we are creatures of habit too, and they are not all good habits. Our shepherd wants to lead us in his paths, because his reputation is at stake. He knows that we would fail miserably on our own. Solomon tells us, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Left on their own, men will destroy themselves. Just like sheep left on their own. We need the good shepherd to lead us, to trust and believe that God's ways, the paths of righteousness, are always best. As Christians, we bear his name, and our testimony reflects on our good shepherd's reputation. He leads in paths of righteousness for his namesake. As believers, we need to be sensitive to and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 5, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." The way we behave in this world is a reflection of how well we follow the leading of the Good Shepherd. So the fourth thing David says he will not want or shall not want is proper guidance, being led in the paths of righteousness. And then verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Something else I've read. Most good shepherds take their flocks off onto far-off ranges during the summer and fall. And during this time, the sheep are entirely alone with the shepherd, feeding as they go, working their way up the mountain. And every mountain has its valleys. And normally the best way to the top is along these dark valleys. It gives the sheep an easier incline to climb, with plenty of food and water. But it also exposes the sheep to danger. There's danger from predators and also from storms that soak and chill the sheep. And sheep are very thin-skinned. They could die quickly from this type of exposure. And the shepherd knows all this, and he stays especially close to the sheep during this time to lead them safely on their journey and find shelter when it's needed. There are going to be valleys in this life for all of us. And the Good Shepherd assured us in John 16, "In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." No matter what we face in our Christian walk, we have the assurance that the Good Shepherd is with us. He cares for us and can meet our every need. Therefore, we should, as David, we should fear no evil as we go through those difficult and scary times. For our Good Shepherd is with us. Even the last enemy, death, has been defeated by the Good Shepherd. For the believer, death has lost its sting. Death has lost its sting because of the resurrection that will come after death that we all look forward to. So the fifth thing David says he shall not want is companionship, for thou art with me all the time and in every situation. And this includes a special closeness as we experience difficult times and even dying grace as the death of one of his saints is approaching. The death of his saints is precious to the Lord, and he gives even more tender care then. And then the end of verse 4, "Thy rod and thy staff comfort me." These are tools used by the shepherd to protect himself and the sheep, and also to discipline the sheep. The rod was a very effective club-like weapon that was thrown by the shepherd at attacking predators. The staff, the shepherd's staff, is a long, slender stick, often with a crook or a hook on one end, and it was used to reach out and catch the sheep. And it was also used to guide the sheep in the way that the shepherd wanted it to go. Now, sheep are stubborn and dumb animals, and at times the shepherd has to move them along out of unseen danger. And this special care of the shepherd brought comfort to David, to the sheep. David was comforted by the Lord's presence, which provided comfort, protection, and correction. We too should be comforted by God's presence and protection every day. He is the God of all comfort, and the Holy Spirit is our comforter. At times, God has to use chastening in our lives too to help move us out of danger and get us back on course. Hebrews 12 tells us that God chastens believers for their profit, and that while it may be grievous while we are in the middle of the chastening, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who are exercised by it, to those who respond in the right way. And the fact that God's motivation for chastening is his love for the believer, that should be a comfort to us as well. It was interesting to see that the primary meaning of the word comfort in the dictionary is to make strong, or to soothe in distress with encouragement. We try to do when we try to comfort others, we try to encourage them. We're praying for you, that the Lord would give you strength, make you strong. So the sixth thing that David says he shall not lack is comfort. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. The high mountain of the summer range is known as Alplands or Tablelands. And these are rich feeding areas. And preparations are made by the Good Shepherd to be sure that all the needs of the sheep will be met. In John chapter 10, right after saying, I am the door of the sheep, Jesus says, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. And the reason the sheep did not hear them is because they didn't recognize their voices. But they knew it wasn't the voice of the true shepherd. They were the enemies. And Jesus went on to say that the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. What a great salvation. We can have abundant life, even in the presence of our enemies. And we wrestle against the rulers of the darkness of this world. The flesh, our old nature, wars against the spirit. Our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about, seeking whom he may devour. In Jesus, our good shepherd, we have victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. God has equipped us for these battles. We are more than conquerors in Christ. So the seventh and eighth things David says he shall not want is provision and victory in the presence of his enemies. And then the second part of verse 5, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Summertime was bug season, and the good shepherd would anoint the head of the sheep with ointment that acted as an insect repellent, so the flies and the other insects wouldn't drive the sheep crazy. The ointment removed the annoyance and the distraction of the bugs in their faces so that they could graze and rest in peace. And the word translated anoint literally means to fatten. And the idea is that the sheep prospers in the shepherd's care. In Proverbs 15, verse 30, it's used to speak of how good news puts fat on the bones. A good report makes the bones fat. This anointing oil is a token of happiness in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. After saying, go thy way and eat thy bread with joy, in verse 7, be happy, Solomon wrote, "Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment." That's the word. And the next verse continues the scene of happiness. Live joyfully with the wife of thy youth. In Ezekiel 16, it's symbolic of prosperity. So the tender care of the shepherd meets all the needs of the sheep, so they shall not want or lack anything that they need to survive. It's already been mentioned on their own, sheep probably wouldn't survive for very long. They certainly wouldn't be fat, happy, and prosperous, as David indicates here. The tender care of the shepherd is what makes it all possible. There seems to be no end to the faithful provisions of the Good Shepherd for the Lord, for the sheep. That seems to be the message at the end of the verse, "My cup runneth over." It's almost like David would have put an exclamation point here to express his happiness. He's overjoyed with the provisions from the Good Shepherd. There have been showers of blessings received by the sheep from the hand of the shepherd. And so it is for believers. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. We can learn the unsearchable riches of Christ. And just like the blessed or happy man in Psalm 1, everything he does shall prosper in the sense of bearing fruit. A blessed, happy life is a fruitful, spiritually prosperous life. Jesus calls it an abundant life. So the ninth and tenth thing, David says, he shall not lack his tender care and joy, overflowing joy. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And then verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Based on the care given this sheep by the Good Shepherd, the sheep gives this summary statement. Goodness and mercy will be the treatment he receives from his shepherd's loving hands. And this is not only a bold statement, but as was the case with verse 1, it's somewhat of a boast, an exclamation of true confidence in the one who controls his situation and destiny. The word mercy here refers to God's loyal or faithful love to keep his covenant promises. One commentator said of this word choice by David, no other term could more adequately summarize the provisions of the Lord described in Psalm 23. The faithful love of God that keeps his promises. I hope that we can all have this confidence and God's goodness and mercy, his loyal, faithful love to us as individuals and to this local church. The 11th thing David says he shall not want or lack is everything he needs in this life from his good and faithful, loving shepherd. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And we sing, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. That's what the psalm has been all about, the assurance we have, knowing the Good Shepherd. But in the song, it says, oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And that blessed assurance is a foretaste of what David says next. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And this closing statement is as proud and as joyous as the opening statement of the psalm. Here's a sheep so satisfied and content with the care it receives that it has no desire for a change. At the same time, on the shepherd's side, there has also developed a great affection for the sheep. They've been through a lot together. This psalm covers a year's activity for the flock. We've been taken from the green pastures and still waters of the home ranch up through the mountain passes onto the high tablelands of the summer range. And fall has come with its storms and storms that drive the sheep down the foothills and back to the home ranch for the winter. So this is the homecoming. The sheep is so satisfied with the shepherd that it wants to stay with him forever. Well, that comes as no surprise. The wonder is that the shepherd doesn't want the relationship to end either. In John 17, Jesus tells us that this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Believers will know him more and more because we will dwell with him forever. And John, Jesus has gone to prepare a place, we're told. In John 14, Jesus said to his disciples, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Even so, come quickly. So the 12th and final thing David says he shall not want or lack is everything he will need in eternity. He has eternal security, and he writes the most perfect happy ending to his most beloved and beautiful psalm, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray. Father, how thankful we are for this record you have given us of the faithful provisions of the Good Shepherd for his sheep. Help us to call these things to mind, especially as when we face difficult times in our lives. We pray that these wonderful truths would encourage us in our walk with you everywhere and at all times. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.